Well, hello, hello. This is Anthony Metivier from MagneticMemoryMethod.com, and I'm so excited you're here for this free memory training on the super simple foundations of remembering the numbers that matter, remembering them fast, and this really is the easiest way to get those numbers that you're so sick of forgetting, just the simple ones like page numbers, credit card numbers, even just that simple security number into your long-term memory. And so I want to encourage you to settle in and relax for this free training. And I mean, seriously, you can relax. I'm going to teach you the coolest method for remembering numbers in the history of the world. And it does have a history. And we're going to take it step by step so that no one finds it overwhelming. And so you're going to have the foundations for using the simple memory trick that I'm going to teach you in this video. And by the time that this series is through, because it is a series, you're going to have this nailed down solid more than you can even imagine. And one of the reasons why that I want to take you through it baby steps is because a lot of people look at it and they think, oh man, this is maybe not for me, but it is for you. It's been used by thousands upon thousands of people, if not millions, and it has stood the test of time because it works. And when you use it, you will get better in your mind. And I want you to stick with me. I want you to keep focused throughout the presentation. So I'm going to give you a kind of unusual gift. And you know, most people, they give the slides of their presentation away or whatever, but I'm actually going to give you this video for watching all the way through. And I'm going to give you an MP3 version of it if you're an audio person so that you can listen to it again. And I'm going to give you a PDF version of what I'm saying so that you have the best of all worlds, so that no one has to be left behind. So just stick around until the end of the presentation and I'll give you a link that unlocks the whole package for you. And look, you can really, really, truly, and honestly relax, because there's nothing to buy at the end of this video. My giving you this is not a bribe to keep you through to the end. I want you to add this to your library of memory training goodies and keep it forever. So the price is that you actually go through the training so that you know what it is that you can do with your mind. And then in video two, I'm going to give you the stupid simple numbers we use every day yet always forget, and we're going to end that annoyance, because we're going to do the baby step foundations, and then we're going to see how practically it can be used with very, very real situations based on actual requests for examples. And we're going to help you develop safety and security in your life, because you will know all the numbers that you need to know in order to take care of yourself and your family in times of emergency. And you'll just be amazed by how few of them you have in your mind. And then there's just the simple stuff like page numbers in books and ways to think about, you know, all kinds of things in your life related to finances and so forth that release your mind from the burden of forgetting, because it takes more of your energy than you may sometimes be aware of, this pain of forgetting. But please understand something. This video and the extra resources that I prepared for you are not going to be available forever, so stick around until the end of the video and show up for the entire series so you can get the rest of the goodies. And I promise that I'm going to be as brief and to the point as possible, and that you're going to learn a skill that you can use for the rest of your life. And we're going to take it baby steps, but I'm not going to hold back, because the skill sounds more complex than it is, but you need to see it from different angles. And I want all kinds of people to be able to access this and to understand it from the angles, and not just know what it is and how it works and why it works and so forth, but actually give you the thinking from a mnemonist, from someone who uses these techniques day in and day out, and the choices that I make in using it so that it works, and so that you'll be able to have the deep insight so that it works for you as well. So let me set the stage for you a little before we get started with the technique itself, because you know, you might not belong to this category, but at least 25% of the learners out there, they need a bit of context in order to get the most out of any training. So for the benefit of everybody, I'm going to start with why I'm doing this free training and why it's so important that you learn the skill that I'm about to teach, because the why of things is just so important for so many people. You know, it's probably more than 25%, but if you're not that kind of learner, just bear with me, because I think this is going to serve you too later down the road. Now, the reason why that I'm doing this training is there's a lot of reasons, but one thing that triggered it is that I've been reading this book called Hidden Figures, and it's about a group of women who worked for NASA during some very turbulent times, and you may have heard about the book, and if not, it's really, really excellent, and I recommend reading it. And don't worry if the movie looks like a popcorn kind of thing that isn't worth the time. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, but it does exist. And the book is very, very different than what the movie looks like it's going to be. So it's a very rich, deep, well-written cultural history that gives you insight into why things happened in history. And one of the things that's so fascinating to me about it is that in the midst of all this historical conflict, there's this super, super positive message going on. And I'm going to boil it down to you what's going on in the book. And again, I don't know if it's reflected in the movie, but it may well be. It's this. It's that when preparation meets opportunity, there is no ceiling. So no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what conflicts, what drama, what kinds of imbalances in the social order there is and so forth, if you are prepared and an opportunity arises, there will be no ceiling on what you can achieve. And you know, this is really important because so many of us are so smart, we're so talented, we're so capable of achieving great things and fulfilling our dreams. But the only problem is we're not prepared. And that means that we're not even looking for opportunity. You can't look for opportunity that you're not prepared to see. And most of the eyes out there, they're not even open wide enough to see it when the opportunity is standing right in front of them. And lack of numeracy, lack of ability with numbers, and just the forgetfulness of the simplest numbers is a huge reason why so many people miss out in life. And I know that most of us don't want to work for NASA or something like that that's going on in the Hidden Figures book. And I know that so many of us have no interest in being great mathematicians. I don't want to be a great mathematician either. But I did once want to study psychology, possibly even get my PhD so I could practice psychoanalysis or psychiatry. At that time, I didn't really know there was a difference between psychoanalysis or psychiatry, so I used the terms interchangeably. But you know, before I get into that story, for those who are watching a Magnetic Memory Method training for the first time, or you don't know me very well yet, I just want to give you my bio real quick. I've got a PhD. I was a professor for many years. I've taught in 3 countries. I created the acclaimed Magnetic Memory Method and have written over a dozen best-selling books on language and memory improvement. And some people, they read about my fascination with numbers and the skills that I teach for remembering them. And they say, how is it that you got into numbers and so forth? Well, that's a longer story. But the whole thing is that everything that touches on memory interests me. So I do focus a lot on memory for language learning. And I have been a memory coach to some of the top ESL instructors in the world. There are people in ESL schools teaching the Magnetic Memory Method as part of how that they teach the language that they're teaching. And that's such a big honor. It's the most amazing thing. But not only do you need to learn the numbers in other languages, but math itself is a language. And so I have gotten very, very deep into the weeds when it comes to understanding how to use our memory to remember not just numbers, but complex formulas and equations and all kinds of things related to numbers, because it's just another language. And like any other language, it has no special characteristic that makes it any harder to memorize than anything else. So we just need to understand the memory techniques, and we need to have information bent to our will using our memory. And so that's really, really powerful. And as a result of all this training that I've been doing based on research and using the skills and being able to demonstrate them to people, I've traveled around the world giving talks on memory improvement. And there are thousands upon thousands of people who have taken the Magnetic Memory Method and have had their memories transformed. And it's just incredible to see the stories that come through. And I'm just so delighted, and I've become quite well known for doing this and creating this change for people. And I have even been granted Warrior of the Mind by bestselling author Tony Buzan, and you know, he is the highest paid memory trainer in the world, so it's a huge honor. And not only that, he's the co-founder of the World Memory Championships and just an all-around stellar guy. And so when he gave me that pin, which is talked in the famous book Moonwalking with Einstein, it really was one of these great moments that makes you feel so good because you've accomplished something. And as I often say, I just can't wait to meet the person who will be a contributor to global mental literacy, which is why you get the Warrior of the Mind pin in the first place. Someone who contributes so highly to global mental literacy that I will give that pin that was given to me on to you. So I hope that that happens in the very near future. Now, as I was saying, though, a lot of this stuff can get derailed because many young people, they want to achieve something great, and I was like that. But like many young people and even older people at any age, I was easily discouraged. And even as a deeply passionate person, it can sometimes be so easy for an outside force to douse the flames. That, or the flames can totally rage out of control, and the passion, the structure of your passion, can just collapse in on itself. And I remember one day in early 1999, I was so on fire about my dream of becoming a psychoanalyst that I went to the registrar's office at York University to officially change my major and enroll in the psychology program again. And, you know, I didn't really know anything about the field. I didn't really know the terminology, but I marched on over there. And then that's when something tragic happened. I ran into this friend just outside the building, and that fire I had burning inside of me went completely awry, went chaotic. Now, normally I would say that running into a familiar face on a huge campus like York University's campus is a wonderful occasion to be celebrated. I mean, what are the odds? On any given day, at that time of day, there were probably 15,000 people on the campus. But, you know, you've perhaps had one of these chance encounters yourself, against all odds, that changes your fate completely. And you know, you're so fired up, you're so determined to do something, and then someone douses your passion completely. They say something that sours your idea, and you wind up dropping it. But then year after year after year after year, you wonder, what would have happened if? Well, when it comes to the passions of learners, tragedies like this happen far too often, and far too often numbers and an inability with them, a fear of numbers, is the force behind the tragedy. Because on that day, my friend asked me why I was over at the registrar's. And so I told her I was filled with all this joy and enthusiasm in my heart, and I was basically jumping out of my skin with enthusiasm. And I explained that I'd come to change my major from English to psychology because I'd read some Freud, and that got me to the library, and I was reading all about psychoanalysis and all this stuff, and I was super excited by the possibilities to learn about the mind, and I knew that I could contribute great things to the world. And well, you know what it's like. You want to feel significant, and that means taking steps to learn and become a person of significance, and I've managed to do that. I've been all over the world teaching and writing, and, you know, it's all part of living a life of confidence and ongoing optimism and empowerment and meeting amazing people, like here in Jerusalem with Jonathan Levy. We're just chilling out, doing our stuff. Right now, I'm deeply engaged in writing something that went out to thousands and thousands of people, and they hopped on a call with the two of us, and so we got where we wanted to go. And I, you know, use the psychology of memory to help people in ways that are probably way more powerful than I could ever do with psychoanalysis or psychiatry, that I didn't know the difference between the terms at the time. But, you know, and thank goodness I don't, you know, feed people pills or anything like that. But I got where I wanted to go. But on that day, I was smacked so hard with just this really, really kind of negative message, because when I told her my plans and my passion and my dream about becoming so involved in psychology, she said, "Oh no, you don't want to do that." And the bluntness of her response came as such a shock. And so I asked, "Why not?" And things are starting to really get crazy. And she answered me with statistics. And so my emotions are on a roller coaster, you know? And I said, "What the heck does statistics have to do with psychology? I just want to be a psychoanalyst." And she said, "Well, it has lots to do with it. You have to take two courses," she said, "qualitative and quantitative statistics, and then you got to get 92% on each one to pass, and then there's math in all kinds of things. You need to know about dosages, and that means knowing the weight of people and the height and their age and the chemical properties of thousands of different drug types and their effects and their side effects, and it's all numbers. And that's why I'm here, because I can't hack it and I'm dropping out. Jeez, I said, that sounds so brutal. Now I can understand why you wouldn't want to face all that. And I sympathized with her, and I hung my head and said goodbye, and I turned away, and I went back to English literature and just read Freud and all kinds of other things from the world of psychology, basically as a philosopher rather than as a professional. Now, I don't know whatever happened to that girl, but I do know what happened to me, and I'm settled with what happened on that day now, but there's a twinge of regret for sure, and, you know, I had to ultimately deal with numbers. I had to face them. You know, I run an online business, and there's a lot of numbers. And I, to this day, we still need to know phone numbers and so forth. And so when I got into memory, I understood that math is a language too, and I faced my numeracy issues. But if I hadn't run into that young woman that day, who knows what I would have experienced in my life. I'm sure I would have found a way to greatness, as we all can, but so many people, unfortunately, they never do, and it's because of moments like this. And so, as great as things have been for me and how things worked out, I've also come across hundreds of opportunities that I couldn't take throughout my journey, and it's really because I was afraid of numbers. And, you know, I think that affects a lot of people. I know it does. I talk to them all the time. I get emails every single day asking for help dealing with numbers. And, okay, so this is all big issue stuff, the big questions of life, fate, and what changes us, and what, by chance, circumstance influences us. And when we're young, we get toppled like that easily. Like that young woman totally frustrated me and made me give up this master plan that I had come up with that I wanted to change from English literature to psychology. But, you know, there's something much smaller that concerns me. And it's something so small that we ignore it all the time. But it's one of those things that once attended to can unlock so much power in your life. And so let me explain what I mean. So much of people's lives is bogged down by not knowing their credit card numbers. In and out of the wallet. I mean, that's what I used to do with my credit card every time I needed to order something online. In and out, and even on the phone, you got to pull it out to this day often enough. And the most frustrating thing is that you wind up putting the credit card back in your pocket, and then they ask you for the security code, and you forget that too. It's just three digits, most for credit cards, it's three digits. Just three digits, you know, and when you add it all up, this in and out of your wallet or in and out of your purse, we're talking about years and years of your life. It really does add up to a lot of period of time, a huge period of time over your life when you can't remember this one number. And there are statistics about how long we stand at crosswalks and how long we spend brushing our teeth and so forth. And just imagine how much time you can save in your life just by knowing these numbers, right? And there's a lot of examples like that. And then there's just like the times when your phone batteries run out, and it's happened to me, and I need to make calls, but without knowing these numbers, you can't borrow a phone from somebody else. You can't use a payphone. You can't do some Superman trick in a phone booth because you don't know the numbers that you need to call. Right? And it happens. And it's not only super frustrating and stressful, but it's missing out on a huge opportunity. And this is a really, really important opportunity. And that's brain exercise, brain fitness. We can have and use the numbers that we need in order to keep our brain healthy. And you may have heard me recently talking about digital amnesia on the Magnetic Memory Method podcast, and wrote an article about it to go with the podcast. It's a dear passion of mine because it's all too clear that too much exposure to computers is really harming our brains. And the more we relegate our memory needs to machines, the less fit they become. Now, I don't want to be overly dramatic about this, but let's face it, especially now in our era of constant exposure to technology, those of us who have fit brains, those of us who have strong memory abilities, and the decent numeracy that we can achieve, the ability with numbers that we can win for ourselves by learning memory techniques, well, we will win the game of life, right? This is where it's at. We will be the leaders. And, you know, all the highest paying jobs involve numbers. All the biggest opportunities require math skills. And when push comes to shove, everyone's identity involves numbers. We all boil down to digits on cards that are stored in files. And we need to know that stuff because in times of danger and need, if we don't know those deeply personal numbers that identify us to the powers that help us run our lives, well, we are in trouble. And, you know, we can really, really wind up taking so many unnecessary risks in life because we're under pressure, we're making decisions without knowing the numbers, and we're essentially gambling with our time and our money and with our energy because we are just eyeballing things. And that leads to just dumping our wealth, and time is part of our wealth, in the trash because we make mistakes that have to be cleaned up later. And this is super tragic because the world is constantly hitting us with this avalanche of information, and so much of it is based around numbers. And these are numbers that we could have more control over, right? We could have memory abilities so profound that we can dodge the information overload and just gain mastery. We don't have to walk on eggshells all the time. You know, we can really, really be free and not trigger all these landslides of stress just by getting a simple hold over numbers. So what I'm really talking about is a very simple and elegant solution that reflects the fact that we need numbers in many aspects of our lives, and we miss out on opportunities by not having a command over numbers, and we're really afraid, and that prevents us from taking action. So our brains benefit so much from the fitness that this one simple memory trick that I'm about to teach you is going to bring for you. So if all that makes sense to you, and if you're ready to set fear aside and take some action, I want to introduce you to something called the Major Method. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I really think it's important to call it the Major Method, but you will have come across it before in the past or see it in the future as the Major System. It's also sometimes called Number Consonant System. I don't use either of those terms for a very, very simple reason, and that's because the Major Method is not a system. It really isn't. And what we call things does matter. And I don't like to be dogmatic about things, but it really, really does matter. It's like the difference between Memory Palace and Mind Palace. Well, sorry, you don't want to organize things in your mind. Your mind has lots and lots of things going on in it. You want to organize things in your memory so that you can access your memory and not just have everything that's in your mind all cluttered up in it. It's lasering in on memory. So I guess I am a bit dogmatic about it, but it's really important to understand this part because the Magnetic Memory Method offers you something far more powerful than anything that ever uses the word system. And so we're going to look at this, and I'm going to help you understand why that you need to approach it methodologically so you actually get the power. Because a lot of reason why people don't ever learn this is because they are promised a system, and that's just not the way memory techniques work. There is no systematicity except for the systems that you build for yourself by understanding the methods. So what is the Major Method? Well, it is a way of you creating a system so that you can associate numbers with sounds. Now remember that the core of all memory techniques is association, and we essentially associate what we don't know with things that we already know really well, and that's a method. And the way that you make that method of association magnetic involves understanding the principle with clarity and with intimate detail. And you know all the sounds that we're going to talk about already, and you know all the numbers. that we're going to talk about already. And when you know all these things, and then you know that you can use a method to associate numbers with sounds, then you can turn those sounds into words. Words that you already know. But not just any words. We're talking about magnetic words. And that means words that are by your design, already easy to memorize. And so this is where the power comes in. And people often ask me, why do you use this word magnetic all the time? And it's really quite simple. It's because we want to magnetically hold information in place, like a beautiful postcard that you've received, information that has come to you. You want to be able to stick it somewhere and have it be where you put it when you go looking for it again. And also, a kind of more philosophical thing is that you want to be able to repel the information that you don't need, so there's no clutter. And so when you use memory techniques in the correct way, you have an absolute power to isolate the information that you want and distinguish it from the information that you don't want so that it is magnetically pinned exactly where you want it so you can find it. Boom. Just like that. And it's really important that you don't pick any old words based on the sounds. The words that you choose should be bright and big and colorful so that they leap out at you and they're just undeniable. And so when you make these wonderful and magnetic words, I'm going to help you have all the principles that you need so that the principles will never let you down, right? And this is what the magnetic memory method is all about, because you're always basing what you are doing with the information that you know, but you're doing it strategically. You're doing it informed by method. You're doing it informed in a way that helps you be flexible and helps you actually get the results that you're looking for. And you've used the major method after you finish this training, and you're going to feel so confident and amazed because someone has finally taught you how to create your own system instead of promising you, hey, there's this system and here's what it is and here's how to use it. No, you're going to make this system based on method. And so this is where a lot of people get stuck. They hear all this talk about these big, bright words and this method, or what we're going to call a method, and they have the most terrible thought in the world. And it's a thought that says, whoa, hold on. Association, images, that's just, I'm out of here. I can't see images in my mind. And some people say this, and sadly, that's the end of the conversation when it comes to memory improvement. Due to the nature of memory techniques, the admittedly kind of strange and often difficult way that we have to talk about them in order to understand them, you know, they get the unfortunate idea that they need to see things in their minds. And they need to see it like it's HTV television or something, and or high-definition television. And here's a not-so-secret admission for you. I'm pretty low on the visual threshold myself, yet I manage somehow to use memory techniques very well. And it never really occurred to me that I wasn't seeing images in my mind until that I heard from people, oh, I can't see in my mind. When I learned the memory techniques the first time, the guy in the audio program, he said things like, see a big crazy tiger in your mind flossing his teeth with a tutu. And all I did was think about this strange combination in words. I didn't really see it. I didn't even, like, he said, see it in your mind, but I didn't, like, leap on that as some kind of instruction that I had to obey. I'd always been an avid reader of books, and I never saw the characters or saw the locations or anything like that. This was never of interest to me. It would be years before I got into memory techniques and started to understand that people are actually seeing this stuff in their brains. And so I started to try to help myself see. And I can tell you, it's pretty easy. Just sit down, read a book, and actively try to see it. Go look at art and learn to draw, and you will develop more visual ability in your mind. And I simply don't accept that anybody can't at least give this a try and benefit from it. Like, it's just a great thing to do. And so over the years, I've really invested in being able to see images more in my mind. But to this day, the best results that I get from memory techniques, they don't require HD television on the back of my eyelids. Never. It's just thoughts. And it's thoughts about images. And there are just some, there's just no reason why anybody can't do this. And there's just a great amount of benefit to spending time with words and concepts and not letting yourself be frustrated, not letting yourself be let down by this thought that you can't do this. And as a preview of something that I've got going on coming up for you, I'm doing some research on something called aphantasia, or aphantasia, some people pronounce it. There's different pronunciations. And this is a condition in which people, they can't visualize in their minds whatsoever. Their minds are literally as blank as the room as this frustrated guy is sitting in. There's just nothing. And yet here's the thing. This is not a tragedy. People with this condition are amongst the most creative people in the world. And Penn Jillette, who's the guy on the left there, the big guy, he is probably the most famous example that I've come across. He's talked about how he remembers things very well, so long as he verbalizes them. He doesn't need to see anything in his mind at all to remember. And you can hear about this on his podcast. It's just an amazing talk that he gave about it. And so, you know, listen to it for yourself to hear what he says. But someone who has done so much for the magic community and had such an amazing magical career, who can't see images in his mind, well, if he can achieve that, anybody can learn to use the major method and remember numbers. And, you know, there's this guy that I came across, and he's one of the people behind the development of Facebook, and he has pics with Zuckerberg, you know, to really show that he really is, you know, that deeply involved in Facebook. He wrote about this, and he apparently has aphantasia, and it's pretty amazing. And his name is Blake Ross, and he, not being able to see in his mind doesn't seem to have stopped him from remembering all the kinds of numbers that one needs to achieve great things in life. So, you know, if you look at his face here, he's a founder at Firefox, and he was the former director of product at Facebook, and he was at Stanford. So, yeah, not seeing in your mind, I can't see how that would stop anybody from doing anything that you want. And as someone who really doesn't see that much in my mind either when I use these memory techniques, I can help you magnetize and empower words and sounds beyond your wildest imagination and give you insight into how that, and I already have given you the insight how that I developed more visual abilities, and that's just simply learning to draw and looking at art and thinking about movies a lot. So here's the wild idea for you. There's going to be a worksheet that you can use to help you that I'll be giving you at the end of the video, and I want you to go through this video again. You'll be able to slide the progress bar right up to this spot and go through it again, and of course you can listen to this presentation on audio if you please, and we're going to learn how to associate sounds with numbers. And so this is going to really, really help you, because it's just as simple as filling out a form. And when you learn how to associate sounds with numbers, then you're going to be able to create words. And you're going to create very specific kinds of words that will make the numbers very easy to remember, because it's a process of encoding numbers with sounds and words so that you can decode them later and get back the number. It doesn't matter how long the number is, you'll be able to do this. So just very, very simple example. Whenever I see the number 53, I see the word lamb. And it's all based on very simple principles that you can use starting today by creating your own number sound association system. Now, there's different ways that people use the major method, and we're going to go through the major way that people use it, although we're going to talk about varieties so that you can be informed as you create your own approach to it. So one thing that a lot of people do, including myself, is to associate zero with a soft C, an S, or a Z. And I have rarely used C or Z. I've rarely used the soft C or Z, although in the next video I'm going to give you an example of where that I did use Z or Z, so that you can get a strong sense of how to actually use both a S or a Z or soft C if you want. You don't have to just use just one, but you may be thinking, how on earth am I supposed to remember this? This association that zero is a soft C or an S or a Z. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But you're going to be really delighted by how easy it is and how that you get to use memory techniques in order to get that into your memory. And so let's just carry on through the actual sound number associations, but you'll see just how easy it is to remember that and to get it down pat very fast. Now, the next simple association that most people use, the vast majority, I would say, is that one is associated with D or T. So just to give you a quick example of what that can lead to, in my way of doing this, when I see the number 11, I see a toad. And, you know, one thing that always comes up for a certain percentage of people, they just want to know, and they want an honest answer. And it really helps them get into using these techniques, is they want to know why D or T, why soft C or S or Z. Like, it's almost as if without that piece of the puzzle, their brains can't relax and settle in. And I think that the most honest answer, and there are a lot of people who give answers, but I think the most honest answer is that no one really knows. You know, it's a bit arbitrary. And if you're crazy like me, you can go and read all kinds of ancient texts where other people are explaining why and how you should do it. There's a theory that it has to do with where a child makes sounds in their mouth as a kid. And it's a pretty compelling theory, and it's well argued by someone. But if you want to get into this, I mean, if you can read German and Latin, then great. I mean, you can go deep into the history. This is the Neue Wahrhafte Zeitung aus dem Parnassus von der Gedächtniskunst. And it's really nice because I read German well enough to get into this and figure it out. But most of us don't have that deep passion for memory to go into the history and figure out why. But I'm very, very sympathetic that people want to know the why, these numbers. But the reality is that no one really knows. But you can look into it and you can spend a lifetime being fascinated by the history of memory techniques, and you will find lots and lots of answers. But please don't let that be a distraction to just simply learning the skill and getting the result, because memory techniques are super fascinating and you can make it a way of life. But none of the joy or passion that drives my teaching of these techniques comes from the history or anything like that. It comes from the results that you get from using the techniques. So I really want you to learn the skills, and I want to solve for people that have this thing where they need to know why D or T for one. The truth is that there's just an abundance of reasons why, and I don't think anyone's ever going to get to the source of it. And that this just comes back to, I want you to know how to make your own system that makes sense for you and that you're going to use and that works for you, as opposed to losing time on answering the why question when the real, honest, and ethical answer is that there is no reason why. It's just that you can do this, and you can do it in a way that's really, really powerful. So make your associations based on what makes sense to you. And I'm going to show you cool examples so that it gets as concrete in your mind as possible. And then I'm going to tell you the why that I did it the way that I did it, and why that I sometimes make changes as I go along, and why it evolves over time to help you solve that why. But that is trivia that is useful, but not nearly as useful as just getting this in your head so that you start using it. Okay, so there may be a bit of the tough love in there, but it's just really, really important. And most of us can pick up these associations the first time. And again, I'm going to speed through this now, and you can download the PDF, you can download the audio to go through this again, you can go through the video again and pick all this up. And I really recommend that you do go through it again, because I like to go through trainings multiple times to pick up some of the non sequiturs and some of the little innuendos and some of the thoughts that you don't get the first time. I mean, they say you only get 15% of what you're listening to anyway, so it's not a memory thing, it's a excavation thing, it's an archaeological thing to go through information more than once. So let's carry on, but not on the basis of worrying too much about the why and more about what and how that it works. So the second number, or the third number really, is two. And so then the third association that most people use is N. And you can pick that up pretty easy in the concrete examples that I will share with you very soon. Three is M. Four is very, very often associated with R. Five is associated with L. Six gets options. Again, I don't really know why that it's been given this spread, other than I guess there's quite a similarity between a ch sound, a j, a sh, and a g sound, although some people will take that g and associate it with seven because it's related to k, a k sound, so k or g, hard g basically. I've never, to my knowledge, ever used a hard g for seven. I always go for k. K is responsive enough, it works across the board enough that I've just never had to do that. Eight is an F or a V sound. And then finally, nine is most commonly associated by, I would say, the majority of people with a B or P. Now, in full, this is what it all looks like. Let's go through it. Zero, soft C, S, or Z. One is a D or T. Two is an N. Three is an M. Four is an R. Five is an L. Six is this ch, j, sh, or possibly a g sound. Seven is k. And eight is F or V or F, V, and nine is B or P. And it's maybe a bit involved when you first encounter it. You're just like, whoa, this seems so difficult. But when you think of it, and once you have it in your mind, which can happen very fast, you get it into your memory, and it's very beautiful, and it's very elegant. And once you've got it there, you just use this array of possibilities to create words. It's like making music, and it works even when you're tired or when you're feeling stressed or if you're in a hurry. And having this ability feels so good. But here's the beauty of understanding that this is a system you create for yourself and you can create for yourself. You don't have to use it this way. You don't have to. If something else makes sense for you, do it. There are other cultures that don't use that display very often. So if you're Russian, for example, as a native speaker, that layout may be totally out of whack for you. I know that Germans use it, and the translator of the Magnetic Memory Method for German is going really, really deep into this work now. And we went through the major method, and it's just totally a no-brainer. The display that I've just shared with you, that just totally makes sense. And that's what many, many, many German speakers use, who use the major method. But these are different examples that are used and you can find. And they don't make sense to me, but there's something called the recency effect and the primacy effect. And primacy effect says that, you know, whatever you encounter first is what you're most likely to use. And I did encounter this display first, and so I just much more likely to remember it and use it based on the primacy effect. And because when I do my research into memory, I see it again and again and again and again as the major method. And it's not called major method because it's the one that most people use. It's because Major Benyowski is said to have come up with it, and that was his name. But in any case, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy that it became the major method because of his name being major. But in any case, the point here is you have options, and you can do whatever it is that you like. So if you'd rather associate zero with M, then have at it. Do it. If it works for you, that's great. It could be that you have zero as a T because zero reminds you of a teacup, right? And that's part of the secret of how you rapidly remember these associations, is you just think about what makes sense in the association related to concrete objects in the world. What matters is that you make decisions and then you lock down on those decisions and you remember the number sound relationships. So in terms of remembering these relationships, it's really, really easy. And I'm going to give you some suggestions. And some of us are cerebral thinkers. I'm a pretty cerebral thinker. So I never really needed to go through this step. but I'll give you some suggestions, and they're pretty simple. So Zero could be a snake, for example. It's eating its own tail, and his mouth has, you know, enough space around his tail to make this hissing sound. So it's a zero shape. His body is in the shape of a circle or a zero, and he's hissing. So does that make sense? It's a concrete way of helping you remember that the shape of zero is associated with an S sound, which your mind probably can fill in the blanks without any further jigging or rigging or fancy footwork to make that relationship see the soft C, because soft C is essentially just an S, and Z or Z is essentially an S with a bit of a buzz. It's got a distortion pedal on it to refer to guitar music. So does that make sense? Zero is S or soft C or Z because the snake makes the sound of hissing even when he eats his own tail. S, zero, S, soft C or Z. And you know what? If you wanted to add Z, it's just coming to my mind now, you could have him sleeping while he's hissing with the old Z symbols of snoring. So that's how you do it. And, you know, most people, if they just think about that, maybe they think or see in their minds that this is a real big snake. And again, you don't have to see it in HDTV, but just relax. Let your mind see somewhere in the universe or on a tree or on your desk or somewhere this really big, bursting with energy, light snake that's wrapped itself up in the eating its tail in the shape of a zero, and it's hissing and snoring. So S and Z. It's really a no-brainer, and I know that anybody can do it. And then you just move on to the next one. So, you know, you might wonder, well, why is one in related to D and T? Well, you can see that there's a line here that's like a one, and there's another line here like a one. And likewise, in the letter N, well, it's got two ones, right? So D and T, you could just think, well, what was one again? Oh, it was the letters that have just one column in one downstroke. And then N, oh, if I think about N, it has two down columns. Just try to find your way. And those are very classic examples. And little associations like this can help you. They take just a second to focus on. You don't have to see it in your mind. You just have to think about it conceptually. And that can really, really help make it fast. And, you know, M, well, mustache, you know, if you turn a mustache on its side, see what's going on here? It's starting to look a little bit more like a three. Now, it's not a one-to-one correspondence as a three, but it's getting close. And what's going on here is that we're using the principle of association that all memory techniques are founded on. And we're doing it in some interesting and exciting ways. So we're relating sounds to shapes in the world. So we're relating zero to the shape of a snake with a tail and its mouth and the sound of hissing or snoring. And this image gives the number sound relationship a really concrete basis for sinking deep into long-term memory from the first encounter. And yes, D and T is more abstract, but working out that relationship is really great for your brain, and it helps to exercise the association skills of just thinking about how things look. And we're notifying ourselves that there's a relationship here to sound, and likewise with the mustache and three. There are endless associations that you can make. You just need to make them real and potent and meaningful for you. And in the next video, we're going to talk more about how to do that, about the decisions that I make and why, and give you extended examples of numbers. But for now, you know, if you're really struggling with the abstractions, then you can just try things. You know, like that T could be some sort of missile. So you see the one there, and there could be some sort of, you know, steel toe boot that's kicking dough or something. And D and T, you know, like, it's just an idea for you. But there's no one-to-one correspondence here. But when you're playing with ideas, you land on things. And if an idea doesn't work out, because this doesn't really work out when you think about it, like the boot has a B sound, so why would that, you know, even though it's faced in the D direction and with the missile, but you're playing around and you're getting great brain exercise from it, and then you can ask yourself, what else? What else might trigger for me that D and T is one if that doesn't work for you? And so this is kind of a thing that can also frustrate people, is that there's so many options, there's too many options. But in the next video, you're going to learn more about how to inform yourself so that you're making the best associations that really, really well work. And it's super exciting. So now here's some homework so that you can continue giving your brain these juicy associations that mean something to you. And the more exciting and the more interesting the associations that you make, the easier it will be for your brain to remember. And I'm excited for the second video because we're going to go more into that with real examples of real numbers so that you're able to understand the deep thinking of how to do this, the best possible way to do it the first time and to get it right. But to really get it right, you just got to dive in. So I got these worksheets for you. And so, you know, if you just like what I have shown, the major way that a lot of people use the major method, then just fill it in. Zero equals soft C, S, or Z. And if it helps you to use the snake thing, then say I can easily associate it with a hissing snake who is eating his own tail while snoring. And that, you know, explain it to yourself in your own words. This is how real learners learn, is they explain things to themselves in their own words, and then they explain it to others as well. So fill this in, and even if you're just repeating the display that you like from what I have given, or you do something else that you like from your own creativity, just fill it in. Just going through this and repeating it, getting it out of your mind and through your body onto something physical in the world. And I really recommend that you print these out and fill them out with a pen as opposed to doing it digitally. Remember digital amnesia. You're not helping yourself if you're not interacting with your muscles in the world as much as you could be. Yes, you can do this all mentally. You don't need worksheets. Some people don't need them at all, and that's fine. But we're all going to benefit from the actual exercise of printing them out and filling them out and actually thinking, you know, I can easily associate four with the letter of your choice. I use R just based on what was given to me first when I took the training myself years ago. And then think about what you can easily associate it with and go further. Think of a couple things. Exercise your brain. You're going to feel so great. It's like a healthy mental fitness that comes to you just by doing this. And you know what I'd really love is when you fill it out, send it over to anthony@magneticmemorymethod.com. Take a picture. Show me that you've actually printed this out and filled it out. Or if you fill it out digitally on the screen, you know, still send me a screenshot. Show me what you're doing, because that is really, really amazing. And then, you know, in the next video, we're going to get all kinds of practical examples and so forth. But it's also just for fun and like the most amazing things that you can do in your life and just have a blast. So, you know, I've mentioned my friend Jonathan Levy, and he just like texted me one time through Facebook, and he's like, hey, by the way, what was that serial number for the 100 shekel bill in my wallet? Boom, 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 boom. And he answered, you know how you can see when someone other person is typing, I got my thing in there first, and he confirmed, and you know, he made some kind of screenshot of this. And people ask me, do these memory techniques really work? Well, you tell me. Can you memorize the serial numbers on random bills in 10 seconds and recall them back 5 days later? Like, this is just so much fun. It's so amazing, and little stunts that you can play. And next time I see him, I know we're going to ask each other this. And I'm curious to see if he will still have it. And I know he will. I mean, it's just amazing. And you probably heard me tell the story of this, because it's just a great one. A great, great story, because exhaustion was involved. And it's just, you know, the lives of people who love memory, there's just such a richness to it. But there's going to be practical examples in the next video and more of this thinking. And, you know, let me know if you like this rationale behind it, because I think this is what makes the difference. When you know why you're doing what you're doing, and you're empowered to create as part of what you're doing, or be creative with a pre-existing foundation, then I think you're really, really in for a much, much bigger more life-serving and longer-lasting skill than other ways of just saying, oh, that looks too complex, I give up, you know? And that's why I want to make this video, because no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in history and all that sort of stuff, when you come across a book like this, and you, these people have extraordinary memories, and they just have incredible talents with numbers. And again, the theme of this book, really, if you ask me, is where preparation meets opportunity, there's no ceiling to what can be achieved. Because they sent people to the moon, you know? They sent people into outer space. There was no ceiling on what they can do. And it's the basis for what guys like Elon Musk are now doing, getting to Mars and so forth. So it's a beautiful metaphor. And I want you to be prepared, and not just for stunts, but I want you to be prepared for the numbers that matter. So in the next video, that's what we're going to do. But for now, I promised I was going to give you something really special, which is this training. So to grab the free ebook, the free MP3 version, and the video itself that you just watched, then go to magneticmemorymethod.com/77. It'll be there for you to download. And then come back for the next video. It's called The Stupid Simple Numbers We Use Every Day Yet Always Forget, and Today the Annoyance Ends. So we're going to go deeper. But you won't find that video at this link. What you'll find is this video at this link. And then if you would like to have the second video in our series, you'll also be able to download that with an ebook. And it's going to be great. And I can't wait to see you there, because it really is so crazy that these numbers are so simple, and yet we always forget them. You now have the basis for actually getting them into memory very, very quickly. But the next video is going to be super valuable for you no matter what. But it's going to be even more valuable if you take the time to fill these worksheets out and get these sound number associations into your memory. And it's going to be even super more valuable for you if you send me the completed version of these worksheets, because I might just have something special for you when you do. Now, sometimes things go to spam. Sometimes it takes a while for the assistant to go through all the email and so forth to get you that special thing. But I really, really want you to get this special thing. So don't be the person who comes to class and doesn't participate. Get involved. Do the homework, you're going to benefit from it. Even if you already know the major method and you've been using it for years, you will benefit from figuring out what else you could associate these sound numbers with. And don't worry, it won't mess with the system that you've created for yourself, because you are just going to be exercising your mind. And that's a fear that people have. If I set this up and then I make a change, well, I lose everything. You won't. There is something called the ugly sister effect that I've talked about on the Magnetic Memory Method podcast. And if you listen to that episode, you'll be very, very empowered, and you never, ever, ever need to worry. The only thing that you ever need to worry about is if you don't take action, because that can lead you into some pretty dark places. So this is your link to download the place to take action, the worksheets, the ebook, the MP3, and this video that you're watching itself. Add it to your memory improvement collection. It's my gift to you to thank you for investing in yourself by learning a very, very simple skill that will serve you for life. Come back for the next video so that we can complete the puzzle a little bit more, and then you can actually use these techniques and understand why that these people who memorize numbers so quickly can do it so quickly. Because it's not just about, okay, we can now make these sound number associations, but it's how that you make the associations and how you do it in a way that works for you. And I want to empower you to get it right the first time, so you don't have to struggle for years like so many people do before they develop the wizardry and the magic that you can have much, much quicker. So baby steps, but we're going to make you a very, very powerful mnemonist, a person who uses memory techniques at the highest possible level. And I can't wait to see you next time. So until we speak again, this has been Anthony Metivier from magneticmemorymethod.com. And until we speak again, keep yourself magnetic.